This is Studio A from Interlochen Public Radio.
Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Amanda Sewell. Our guest today is one of the leading experts in the world of the euphonium, Demondre Thurman. Welcome. It's so good to have you.
It's nice to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay. I need to know, what do we call you? Are you a euphonium player, a euphoniumist? This is one of our biggest questions in classical radio.
That's funny.
Help.
Well, so three things I've been called: euphonium player, euphoniumist, and euphonist.
That's like euphemistic almost. Like, do you have a preference?
Demondre is my preference. Yeah, this musician, that works for me. Yeah, I don't refer to myself in any of those other ways.
Okay, so as a professional euphonium player, that's a pretty specialized role in this world. So if you're at a party and, oh, I'm an accountant, I'm a lawyer, well, I'm a professor of euphonium. Like, how do people typically respond to that?
That's a really great question. Usually I say, I teach music. And then they say, well, what instruments do you teach? Or do you sing? Or whatever. They go through that. And I go, I teach euphonium, I teach trombone, I teach tuba, depending on, you know, what we're doing. And they say, well, what's a euphonium? And I say, you've probably heard of it. It's a baritone horn. It's a marching instrument. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, it's like a baby tuba. Yep, it's like a baby tuba. Yeah, that's what I teach.
So you can sort of expect to have that same conversation.
Yep, conversation's ready to go. It's ready to rock and roll.
And yet, like, it's not just a baby tuba. Like, it's, you know.
It's not just a baby tuba. You don't call the piccolo the baby flute. So it's its own thing.
Yeah. Well, you are here with pianist Susan Snyder to play some pieces for this not baby tuba, euphonium. It's interesting because both pieces that you have brought today were written specifically for the euphonium. They're not covers, as it were, or arrangements. I'm just curious about the rep for the instrument. Like, do you try to sort of do half and half, or do you primarily prefer music written specifically for the instrument?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think it's important that as a euphonium player that I play music that was originally written for the instrument. The instrument's relatively new. 1950s, we're having our first real legitimate pieces. And composers now are writing a lot of music for the euphonium. And so I think that's really important. But as a student of music myself and as someone who teaches music, I think it's important that we can play, you know, music from the classical period, music from the Baroque period. So I want to mix enough transcriptions and arias and those kinds of things into the repertoire that just so that we tip our toe into the music that actually generates, you know, the music that we play now. You know, all of that music was derived from those earlier musics, and I think it's important that we play those as well.
Yeah, I noticed one of your first albums is like all the greatest tenor arias.
That's exactly right.
Like, well, you know.
Yeah, it's part of it. That's part of it.
Il mio tesoro, but
on the euphonium.
On the euphonium.
That's right.
Well, let's hear one of those original pieces right now. This is the Fantasy Variations for Euphonium and Piano by the composer Yasuhide Ito.
Thank you. Thank you.
Music of Yasuhide Ito in Studio A at Interlaken Public Radio. The Fantasy Variations for Euphonium and Piano. At the piano, we heard Susan Snyder, and playing the euphonium in Studio A today is Demondre Thurman. The low notes are my favorites. Oh.
And those are my hardest.
Oh my gosh. Like, how do you, like, I just felt the energy of, like, it's like a tense relaxation almost.
Well, I, you know, as someone who's admired really great tuba players throughout, you know, my time as a music student and into my professional life, that's the sound that I have in my head. I want to sound like an orchestral tuba player when I'm playing in that register. So I try to model that, and hopefully I succeeded today.
It's great. I was impressed if that counts.
Well,
for
good.
Anything.
That's one. We got one.
Okay. Well, you know who else is probably impressed? The students here at Interlaken. You're here, Demondre Thurman, working with students in Tom Riccobono's Low Brass Studio. What kinds of questions do they ask you? Like, what do they want from you?
Well, a lot of them are interested in, obviously, my path, like how I got to be a euphonium soloist, which is fascinating to a lot of students. You know, it's not like, you know, there's a lot of us out there. And, you know, so that's a question that I get often. Students are very interested in my sound concept, where it came from. I get a lot of questions about the high register, because that's something that I'm sort of noted for. I put that in quotes, something that I'm noted for in the low brass community. So far, those are the questions. I have one more master class tomorrow. So,
okay. So, well, let me ask then, like, how did you get here? The short version. I mean, when you were 18, when you were their age, were you like, yep, I am going to be the euphonium star?
No, actually, it was interesting. I wanted to be an engineer. That's what I wanted to do.
Oh, how did your parents react to that pivot?
Yeah, my mom was not that into it, but, you know, she endorsed me. She said, follow your heart, and that's kind of what happened. I really fell in love with music about midway through my senior year, and the idea of having it taken from me by studying engineering just didn't sit well. And so it was at that point that I just decided I would major in music. Euphonium was the thing that I was doing, so that meant I majored in euphonium. And so I still feel like I'm that kid that just fell in love with music, and however I get to make it, whether it's on the euphonium or trombone or conducting or whatever, like teaching, doesn't matter. That's like who I am as a person. The instrument really is an extension of me as opposed to who I am.
And you're not only working with up-and-coming young low brass players here at Interlaken, you are a euphonium specialist with major orchestras, New York Phil, Philadelphia Orchestra, Atlanta. What are those calls like? Like, what do they ask you for, the pros?
So,
the high register again?
Yeah, well, our conversations are a lot about sound, because, you know, the way orchestral players know the euphonium, they know it as a band instrument, and they know it as a brass band instrument. And so there's a certain sound concept that goes along with with concert bands and certainly with brass bands that differ from the way that I tend to approach the instrument. I approach it much more like they approach their instruments, and that's really unique. So I get a lot of comments about how do you play so strong and keep the integrity of your sound and not have all the vibrato all over the place. And, you know, kind of what I was trying to describe to them is, you know, the vibrato is a color that I use, and if it's not the appropriate color, then I'm not going to use it. So if I'm playing Strauss, or if I'm playing, you know, particularly if I'm playing Ein Heldenleben, which is basically an extension of the tuba part, yeah, there's no reason to use any vibrato there. But if I'm playing the big bravura solo at the beginning of The Planets, there's a lot of space for vibrato there. So to me, the music dictates the terms of the sound. So I get a lot of questions about that.
Well, let's hear you play another piece written specifically for the euphonium. A party piece? Like, did you just pick that one because of the name?
Yeah, well, 'tis the season, I mean, right?
This is music of composer Philip Spark. Music of Philip Spark in Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. Susan Snyder at the piano with our guest, euphoniumist Demondre Thurman. It's called Party Piece. I was wondering where the party was for the first, you know, few minutes of that piece, but then he sort of picked it up.
That's right.
Halfway through, I was like, I'm not sure if this wasn't the party I was expecting.
Well, you know, sometimes it's the getting ready for the party that can take the longest time. I mean, imagine picking the right outfit or getting your makeup together just so. And then once you're at the party, you know, all bets are off. So that piece unfolds in that way.
Well, Demondre Thurman, you are putting down your euphonium here in a couple of days and picking up a baritone horn and a trombone to play with the brass band of Battle Creek. Can you give us sort of the beginner's guide distinction to the euphonium versus the baritone horn?
I can, yeah. So just a brief history. I think when windband came over to the United States from England, there were two instruments. In America, it was just kind of easier to say that baritone. That was, you know, we knew that, the singers, all of that. And so the euphonium just sort of adopted that name in our country, but they are two distinct instruments. The euphonium is quite a bit more conical than the baritone horn is. And what I mean by that is it makes a rounder, richer, darker sound than the baritone does. The baritone, it literally in the same clef, same pitch class, you know, everything's the same key, everything's the same. It's just a smaller, more compact, therefore more cylindrical sound. And it really is a bridge instrument between the trombones and the euphoniums in a brass band. That's the way that I look at it.
And also, I love this. You are a Warburton music signature artist, which means that you have a line of mouthpieces. I can literally go buy a Demondre mouthpiece for my own euphonium. Is that like getting on a Wheaties box? Like that seems like a thing to like, oh, you can just check out my line of, you know, mouthpieces.
Oh, fantastic. That's funny. You know, actually, the mouthpiece really came out of a need. Being a black musician, having kind of thicker lips, you know, the standard euphonium mouthpieces that we were using, particularly when I was younger, there just wasn't anything that fit my face the right way to make me play in a comfortable manner that allowed me to play for any length of time. You know, if I got a mouthpiece that was big enough for my lips, it would tire me out too soon. And so I talked to Terry Warburton about designing something that allowed me to have the comfort that I was looking for, but also the endurance and sort of staying power, if you will, that I needed to play solo repertoire and particularly to play chamber music repertoire. And so we designed a mouthpiece that was a little bit more cushiony than the mouthpieces I was using before, and a slightly bigger inner rim, which allows more of my lips to be inside the mouthpiece to do the work. And so we only have one at the moment. We have one for euphonium, one for bass trumpet, which I play quite a bit, and one for baritone horn. So you can only get the one model for the three different instruments at this point.
But that's definitely filling a specific need that musicians have.
It definitely is. And as I travel the world, you know, teaching and playing, a lot of people are discovering what comfort actually does for your playing. You know, it's one thing to play the Demandre mouthpiece because you think Demandre's cool, but it's another
that's
thing
what
to
I
play
would
it.
Do.
Well, it's another thing to play it because it actually fits your face, your instrument, the very most. And you know, myself and a bunch of other guys have signature lines out now, and it's just better for euphonium players. We have the same kind of options now that trumpet players and trombone players and tuba players have always had, at least in my experience.
Well, Demandre Thurman, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming to Studio A today to perform and talk with us.
It was a real treat. Thank you so much for having me.
This edition of Studio A was engineered by Michael Culler. I'm Amanda Sewell. Thanks for listening.
Studio A is produced at Interlochen Public Radio, part of Interlochen Center for the Arts. Our digital content manager is Casey Brown. Amanda Sewell is our music director. Our recording engineer is Stefan Wieb. Learn more at interlochenpublicradio.org.